What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/footyprime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language, and sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature. So keep the volume down if there are kiddies around, and thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mitts and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. It's the
booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jimmy, JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
You're listening to FP Presents CF Montreal 3 Questions. Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
Okay, welcome to CF Montreal 3 Questions, but actually today it will be CF Montreal Many Questions, or a plethora of queries. I'm here with Ollie Brett, as usual, play-by-play man for RDS, host as well, and host over at BPM Sports for SC 99. And we're joined today by a very special guest, Kenyan international, former Celtic, Southampton, and Tottenham Hotspur man, and veteran midfielder with CF Montreal with over 109 appearances with the club. Welcome, Victor Wanyama. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Do you get offended when we leave Belgium and Beerschot out, or is it okay?
Sorry?
Do you get offended if we don't go through the whole list? Because some players are very adamant that we say Beer Scott as well, and your clubs.
No, I'm good with whatever you want to know.
I tried to list as many of them as possible there. Have you dried out at all after training today? It was a wet one, I imagine.
It was a little bit wet, but it's okay.
Yeah, not bad. Good to get back out there?
Yeah, it's always good to get back, but the weather, you know, it's supposed to be summer now.
Yeah, we're not quite sure. For anybody who's kept tabs on Montreal weather this spring, it's been just a tad complicated. And that's not even including the fact that the Olympic Stadium hasn't been available for you guys. So if you had to take your pick, Victor, a snowy day in Montreal or a miserable January day in Glasgow?
Wow. I think a miserable Glasgow day is okay.
Fair enough.
Too cold, man. The winter in Montreal is something else.
Yeah, and it seems to stretch into the month. Like we're almost in May now, right? It should be warmer. So I feel you on that. It's a little bit unpredictable. But we'll start with the really serious, hard-hitting stuff. Victor, right off the top, who do you have in Champions League today?
Madrid, I say.
Madrid, it's Harry Kane's going to be on the phone now telling you, giving you abuse.
I know, you know, I ride with Harry Kane and I know how deadly he is. But, you know, Madrid, there's something else. So, yeah, I'll say Madrid.
What would you say, considering you played with him for a good few years, is there anything that we underestimate that hasn't been spoken to? Obviously, he's a top-class, world-class striker, but having seen him on a daily basis, what's underestimated about his game, Harry Kane?
I think there's nothing that hasn't been said about him. You know, everybody knows he's lethal in front of goal, and also he's shown something else. You know, he's shown that he can be a false nine, he can drop to be a number 10. He's shown everything. So a lot of people knows now he's even more dangerous than before.
Do you feel for him a little bit? He moves over from Tottenham, never having really won anything, and he goes to a team who's legendary for winning trophies, and then Xabi Alonso comes along with Bayer Leverkusen and snatches that away from him. So do you think, I mean, his pedigree obviously as a player speaks for himself, but do you feel for him a little bit that he moves to Germany and still doesn't get a trophy?
Yeah, happy for him, but I know at the end he will get his reward. At the moment, it's tough, you know, going there for the first year as well, and then just win it all. I know he knows it. It doesn't come that easy as well, but he knows he will win, and he knows very soon it will happen. So he's in a good team, and it will be good to see him winning something as well.
Just to finish on the Champions League bit, today we're recording just a few minutes, basically, before Bayern-Real Madrid. What about the other matchup, Dortmund-PSG? Who do you see going through to the final?
I'm thinking, I'm seeing Dortmund as a threat. You know, Dortmund have been there, and Dortmund knows what it takes. You know, they have already surprised Madrid. They have already surprised PSG in the group stages, and it'd be a tough matchup. So I think Dortmund can do it.
Well, we'll switch gears a little bit and get down to club talk with CF Montreal. So Laurent Courtois comes to CF Montreal this year, kind of a breath of fresh air into the city, and perhaps for you as well. But he said early on that you'd given him a beautiful lesson in humility, and that he's impressed with your professionalism. So what's it like so far playing for Laurent?
You know, he's a good guy, and, you know, as long as I'm here, you know, I always want to be professional, and I want to help the team. You know, I haven't get a lot of time to do that, but for me, you know, I still stay professional and try to do what I do. So playing under him is great, and, you know, he's a nice human being as well.
Have you had to adjust your training regime? Do you do a bit extra because you haven't been starting every match so far this season? Did you have to add a bit of extra work?
Yes, I have to. When I come home, I always have my routine. You know, I always have my workout. And I have some guys that help me do that as well. You know, his name is Steve. He's Stefano. He always helped me with that. And yeah, I'm grateful, but you know, I can't control. You know, I control what I can, and what I cannot, I just let it go. You know, because it's not only about football. You know, so I control what I can.
Yeah, and we heard that prior to pressing the record button, you moved to a quieter room because we could hear kids in the background. I'm saying kids plural because it sounded like a lot of noise, and I have three kids myself. So what's that like, balancing that at home? You come home, you have to put in the extra work because maybe you're not getting the minutes on the field, but you also have a family life. So how hard is it to strike that balance, or does it help you stay grounded and help you to keep things in perspective?
Yeah, I have a son, you know. I have a son, and whenever
I come home,
he's 2 years, 7 months. So whenever things go like how it goes, then I come home, I'm really happy to see my family and to see my son, because they are everything. So what happens there, like I said before, I don't have control. I have nothing to prove about. I have nothing to prove to anyone. And yeah, as long as what goes on the pitch stays there, when it's done, and then when I come home, I'm happy to see my family. I'm happy to see my son, and you know, they are the most important thing.
There's about a quarter of the season that's gone by so far, with 9 games played for Montreal. Are you comfortable enough with the idea of seeing that kind of role throughout the season? Obviously, there'll be moments where you'll be used more. I'm convinced about that. Or would you be looking mid-season to maybe make a move, go back to Europe, or go somewhere else where you'd be guaranteed maybe a bit more playing time for the years you've got left?
You know, you never know. I'm open to everything. You never know. I'm open to everything, and I don't know. It's just weird. Like, it's just weird, you know, when you don't play and you don't understand. I don't understand, you know. Someone can explain to me 50,000 times, but over here I won't understand how and why. But yeah, it's okay, and whatever comes, we will see. You know, nobody knows the future. As long as I'm here, I'll try to be professional and do my job.
with the different leadership from last year to this year, different personalities in charge, have the lines of communication at least been open in that regard? That you said you don't understand, but has that been presented to you and reasons given why other players are preferred to you?
You know, as I can say, I don't really. I've been around this game, and there's some things I cannot understand when you try to tell me just before the season. I don't like just a game before the season. Maybe a week before the season kicks off. I will not get it right, but. What I know, I've been around football, and you know, I know everything. Like, I know the football language easily. I can tell you, so I have nothing bad to say against anyone. You know, considering last year, people maybe they were making me look like a bad person, or maybe. To look like a troublesome person. I've never been a troublesome player, and that's not me. So, as I always say, you know, I am authentic. I will always say what I have to say and the truth.
You have the football language. I'm also told you're half decent with the cooking language. I think it's Alistair Johnston I had on the radio a few years ago, and he was either going to have you at home for dinner or you were about to have him. I know your way around the kitchen. Do you still, even though on the pitch you maybe spend a bit less time with your teammates, do you still spend a bit of time with them outside? And is that something you enjoy doing, having people over for a meal?
Yeah, this season I haven't done that much, but yeah, I remember.
That's what a kid will do to you.
I remember when Alistair was here. Yeah, we did it. So I invited him over and yeah, cooked, and also he did the same. And to be fair, I think he was using a lot of microwave and oven, but it's okay.
Listen, I told him
that's not cooking.
Well, it is if you cooked it and you're reheating. This will be my personal editorial in the matter. One last one on that part. I was speaking with Mahalo Opoku when you guys went to Orlando for training camp. He was telling me it's basically all-out war between himself, Sanusi Ibrahim. I don't know if you're in there as well, for who in Africa has the best jollof rice. Is that how you say it?
I know about that. They're always fighting about the food, you know. Who has a better jollof? That jollof is like just rice and beef. So I don't know. I don't want to get in between that fight. You know, it's a big one. So I let them settle it.
So you don't get involved. This is not something. It's not involved, Kenyan cuisine.
Yeah, that one. In Kenya, we have a different one. Okay. We call it like pilau, but then they call it jollof, and I don't know, it's kind of similar to them, but so they like to fight who has the best one. So that one they have to settle it by themselves, because it's a big one. So it's like a country to country war.
And what's your go-to meal when you have people over?
Pretty much everything, you know. I like to make beef. I like to make rice. Just everything, you know. Impressive. It depends with how people feel, how I feel.
And going back to the team, moving away from the food a little bit, is there anybody? So you're 32, correct?
Yeah.
Is there anybody in kind of that youthful contingent on the team? Because there's a fair amount of younger kids on the team. Is there anybody on the squad who reminds you of yourself, either in their personality or their playing style?
Not really.
No.
Not really, to be honest.
Is that a good or a bad thing?
I don't know. Maybe it could be a good thing and it could be a bad thing. I don't know.
What attribute then, like if nobody reminds you of you, what is it about you? What single attribute do you think that you, your player profile or your experience, what do you lend to the team that nobody else can provide?
It depends, you know. Everybody sees the game differently. So, for me, at my position at that age, I was already, you know, competing in Europe, and I would say different. So, everybody has his own way of playing and own way of understanding the game. So, some get understand it quicker, some a little bit slower, but you know, sure. So I wouldn't say this. You can get somebody like me, or I can see someone in my position when I was at their age.
When you look back, Victor, you went through some big clubs, some smaller ones as well were used as stepping stones to get to the highest level. Which one, because every player in hindsight understands where the tipping points were in his or her career, what club had you make the biggest leap in improving your game as a footballer?
I would say in Belgium, when I started in Belgium, because I went there and I started in the academy. I continued there in the academy because I started in the academy in Sweden, but when I was there in Belgium, that's when I learned also a lot with the first team, with players around me like that. And then, I had to learn very quickly because I had good players around me and experienced players. So it was easy to learn, and what I didn't understand, I was asking them and looking at what they were doing.
And now that you're in MLS, you arrived here in 2020, and as I mentioned off the top, over 100 appearances with the club. Have you seen an evolution of MLS since your arrival? And if so, what's been the biggest change?
When I arrived, you know, a lot of teams, they were like playing power play, you know, kick and rush, and, you know, more power play. But now, a lot of teams now try to play out and, you know, try to be nice, and it has changed. So it has changed a bit. So I'm happy to see this, you know, a lot of teams trying to play more, you know, pressing. It's good.
Physical and intensity in a football match, though, you played a few Old Firm derbies. I suppose that's nothing that would have scared you. For anyone who's never watched one, experienced one, or attended an Old Firm derby, how do you begin describing that? When Alistair was asking you, for example, what will that look like for me when I'm putting on a Celtic shirt and I'm about to face Rangers? What does that look and feel like?
No, man, it's a different level. It's crazy because you can't hear your teammate. You know, when you're on the pitch, you really have to go closer to your teammate to have any chat. It's so difficult to hear your teammate because the crowd is alive and they are making noise, and it's just unbelievable. Like, you never see something like it in a lot of footballing countries. It's a few that can match the energy of Celtic and Rangers, Celtic versus Rangers.
I've seen lately on social media, I've seen a few really interesting stories about Thomas Gravesen when he was at Celtic. Were you there at the same time?
No.
No. So you don't have any good Thomas Gravesen stories for us, no?
No, I don't. I wasn't there. It was a long time ago, so I wasn't there.
Okay, I'll have one last one then before I throw back to Amy concerning Glasgow and a bit of Montreal as well. Who was harder to understand, Scott Brown, Neil Lennon, or Laurent Simon, who tries to pretend he can speak English?
I think Scott Brown.
He was the hardest one.
Scott Brown, it was difficult, you know. You know, the Scottish, when they try to speak, and their English was so hard. You know, their slang is just hard to understand. I had to, like, it took me a few months to understand them.
Unfortunately, he was your captain. That wasn't a good sign.
No, probably not. Did you ever get a handle on the rhyming slang? And if so, do you have a favorite kind of turn of phrase? or rhyming slang from Glasgow?
I've never went there. I've never.
No?
No, I haven't been there.
You've never been to Glasgow?
I've been to Glasgow, but what do you mean, a rhyming slang? Oh, so, like the language?
Yeah, my mother-in-law is Glaswegian, so I hear it a lot. So she refers to her sister as a blood blister.
Slang? No, I couldn't get you. Yeah, the slang is different, man. There was one guy, his name was James Forrest. I couldn't understand. I couldn't understood whatever he was saying. Until now, if I hear him, I don't know what he's saying. He has the strong one. So I couldn't understand anything. Him, he is a proper Scottish guy. Like, I couldn't understand whatever he was trying to tell me.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Because like I said, my mother-in-law is Scottish. And when her family comes over, I'm usually good if I'm like keeping rapt attention. I can follow the conversation, but then once the wine comes out and then maybe the gin and tonics, they look at me and they're like, Amy, you have no idea what we're saying to you. And I'm like, nope. And I'm completely lost. So I feel you on that.
What up, Primers? It's JC, that guy. Don't miss a second of Premier League action only on FuboTV. Subscribe at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. With Serie A, League One, and One Soccer 2, you can get it all at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. Now, back to the show.
One last one, going back to the CF Montreal crew. Who is the easiest to wind up?
Oh.
The easiest to wind up?
Yeah.
Corbo.
Really?
Why? Yeah.
Because we always play, sometimes we always play like card games or sometimes board games. And I always get to into his skin easily, you know. when I win, I always rub it on his face and he's always like, you know, he's always like, no, don't touch me. He gets mad so quickly.
Okay, you have spent enough time in the world of football and speaking to media to know that when we say one last one, it's never really the one last one. So this will be the real last one. You're talking about board games. What are you guys playing? Monopoly? You're playing Snakes and Ladders on the road? What games are they?
Snakes and Ladders.
We play like Ludo.
Okay.
And then we play a game of cards called Trumps. I don't know if you know Trumps.
Yeah, I used to play in college, but I also heard Ari Lasseter say that you guys play Uno a lot.
And then we play Uno a lot.
Yeah.
We play Uno a lot, so those are the games that we play.
Respect. No Snakes and Ladders.
No.
Well, this is great, Victor. Thank you so much for giving your time and for joining us today, and best of luck with the rest of the season.
All the best.
You're welcome. Ciao, guys. Bye. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Well, that was Victor Wanyama, very candid and interesting as usual. And it's interesting to see, I've used interesting twice now, but it's always fascinating to me to notice what really gets players going. Like, you know, what you see, the sparkle in their eye, or you see like the corners of their mouth turn up when you mention certain things. So what were your biggest takeaways there, Ollie?
Wow. Actually, you know what? It's something that Victor didn't touch on, but that keeps coming up every time he answers a question about going to an academy in Scandinavia. I was a bit surprised at his answer, but there again, I asked that question considering I might be surprised by it, knowing that Beerschot in Belgium was the club where he made the biggest leap. And that's basically my takeaway. You leave Kenya, you become a legend for your national team. Yet you're always thrown in a city, a country, a culture that's clearly not yours to begin with. The language is complicated. The weather can be absolutely disastrous. The atmosphere and the pressure you have can be immense. I mean, what does that do to your psyche, or how resilient you have to be to go through all those steps and stay at a high level is just really impressive. And you also have to believe in your ability. Obviously, that's my takeaway. I'm curious to hear your take on it, but I don't hear a guy who's thrilled with the situation in 2024, no more than he was for the rest of the season as of July 2023 under Hernán Losada. But you know what? That's what a competitor gives you, right? He expects to be on the pitch because he sees himself as able to contribute way more. And that's one of my big takeaways.
Yeah, that I agree with you. And when you asked him that question about the summer, does he see himself moving somewhere else, potentially Europe? But I look at the way some teams are going in MLS right now, and there are a lot of MLS teams who could use a Victor Wanyama in their midfield.
Yeah, that's really interesting as of July. I think it's too early now to look at teams who could invest. The other thing we don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, but the salaries haven't come out yet. So we'll see how much he's earning because for a defensive midfielder, I think Victor is on a more than decent salary. Having said that, you need one injury to a key player in a team that's a proper MLS Cup contender, and they don't want to start sliding because, you know, just as well as I do, in MLS, it's how you go into the playoffs. Remember, what was it, 2016, when Seattle are going nowhere in July, legendary Siggy Schmidt and the club part ways. Schmetzer comes in and they go all the way and they beat Toronto and they win the whole thing. And they were going absolutely nowhere mid-July. So it's really important to finish the season strong. And who knows, you're right. I was considering kind of going back to Europe more than staying in MLS, but that could also be an option if it makes sense for everybody involved.
Yeah, a lot more still to give, clearly, from Victor Wanyama. And I've been surprised, quite honestly, at how little he's been utilized, especially since this team. And maybe we'll just close up this episode with a little bit about the past weekend getting a much deserved point on the road against MLS Cup holders and the Columbus Crew. But Victor Wanyama is a type of player that you want on that pitch to kill a game. So that's been an issue with them. They finally get it over the line. They see that game out. They are able to claim a point on the road. But it's still surprising to me how little we've seen of him.
Well, this game is a really interesting one because I agree with you. On paper, you go, you have a point. You're playing away. You're playing the champions away. You want to close it out. Having said that, the DNA that the club wants to get back to is not what you saw last year where you wanted to cling on to the little you had. It's what you had the year before where you were all in trying to get all 3 points when they were up for grabs. So you can also admire Laurent Courtois saying you're bringing on Nathan Saliba instead of Victor Wanyama, and you're bringing him on for Samuel Piet, who himself could just stay on the pitch and be a closer more than Nathan Saliba is. But the message you're sending your team is, we're actually able to go forward because Nathan Saliba does a bit more of that than both Piet and Wanyama. So you can see it in that sense, and you might be rewarded at times, or you can see it in a way where Victor should be your systematic guy that you use in those circumstances to make sure you don't drop anything. But it becomes a question of mentality, right? Remember what Olivier Renard said when he came in 2019, our fans are always going to prefer a 3-3 draw than a nil-all draw. Well, that's a mindset. And your mindset then materializes with the subs that your coach decides to use.
Yeah, you are right in that. I don't want to dig my heels in here, but I still think we've seen a different approach from Courtois on the road than we have seen it at home. We've seen a team on the road much more pragmatic in their approach, happy to give away the ball and try to hit teams in transition. Whereas at home, you want to play a more intricate possession style game where you're building out of the back, much more passing, much more possession heavy. So the same way that you split if you're in CCC and MLS, or, you know, what's going to be starting with a very congested schedule for this team in the month of May, and then Canadian Championship quarterfinals to be fought probably mid-May or late May, that you see different players. You see different players breaking in because you have to straddle those two contests. So to me, it would have been perfect to deploy Victor Wanyama on the road in those particular contests.
Well, just to finish off on that topic, I agree with you in one sense. It's not on the specific game, because I think all credit to Joel Waterman. Jonathan Serrois was outstanding at the end of the game.
Really was.
Waterman looked, you know, we were talking about peacetime, wartime general.
Yeah.
The place was caught on fire at the end of the game. They brought on Cucho Hernandez. They brought on Yaya Boa, Christian Ramirez, and Waterman was jumping, putting himself in front of everything. It was not always pretty, but it looked like what Rudy Camacho looked like at the back in tough moments in seasons past. Now, that's for this specific game. Where it's going to start hurting you if you don't use Victor Wanyama regularly enough is when these games come and you need him. Why? Because he's a diesel engine. He's not a Jules-Anthony Vilsain who can just come on and you tell him, go try and jump on a chance. Strikers, wingers, they're a bit different. Now, when you have a guy who needs to rev up and is not a speedy or a sharp little technical player like Bryce Duke, you need the reps. CF Montreal doesn't have a proper reserve team in MLS Next Pro. You can't give him those minutes. So that's where I think making sure that he gets minutes regularly enough, no matter the context, is going to end up being important, because you're right, it's 8 matches in the month of May for CF Montreal, 6 in MLS and 2 in the Cup for the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so a lot of football coming up. And you mentioned his name there. I'm happy about that. And we'll wrap up with this. But what do you think the ceiling is for Jules-Anthony Vilsain? Because he looked incredible and immediately provided a lift to his team and energy, but also in an option for Bryce Duke. You saw the connection instantly with those two, but so much more of a focal point going forward and more fluidity and structure to that attack.
No, he's got an X factor. He's just got something that's not tangible that Mason Toy, for the moment, I'm sorry, doesn't have. To me, in the minutes he came in, he just leapfrogged Mason Toy based on pretty much one passage of play in the first half where Chouinard picks up the ball high up on the press, gives Toy the ball. He's alone in the box. He doesn't look over his shoulder and he gets caught by Amundsen, I believe, who takes away a chance that should have been clear cut. Vilsain comes in. And he's no right to be that confident. He's 14 games into his MLS career, yet he has that swag. He has that belief. He takes on his responsibilities. He tries to shoot from outside the box, inside the box. He missed that breakaway. I think in a year's time, there are chances you need to put away to make sure that eventually you're considered as the main guy. But now it's part of his learning process. You're asking me his ceiling. I would say they depend on two things. His ceiling can be interesting or it can be really high if he gets better in the air and more courageous physically in terms of putting his body on the line, shielding the ball. The stuff that Chinonso Ofor was doing, well, Vilsain kind of has the other skill set because he's a big guy. But you remember that time he gets headbutted in the face in the center circle. Why are you not jumping for that one? You're, what, 6'2", 6'3"? Mm-hmm. Vilsain has everything to be dominant in the air, yet it seems to be something that he doesn't appreciate bringing that much to his game. If he does improve in that and gets physically a bit more used to inviting the contact, I think he can be an absolute machine up top for CF Montreal.
Yeah, because you compared him to Chino Afor, not in terms of the types of players that they are, but I mean the way that Afor can hold up the ball and the way that he could dominate with his head. But I look at him physically. I'm just talking from a physical standpoint now. Vilsain is a tall and he's really lean.
Yeah,
there's not a whole lot to him. And physically, I think about a guy like Kai Kamara. Like I think that, and you think about how very dominant Kamara is with his head. So if Vilsain can round out his game with that quality, then, I mean, we talk about his ceiling. We don't even know what it would be at that point, because he would be pretty unstoppable, I think, as a front runner.
I'd never made that comparison, but I think that's a perfect benchmark for him. And it doesn't mean that you need to be holding the ball up like an old-fashioned English striker. Like, that's not what you're asking, but you need to be able to do it when it's required. And when the ball's in the air, you have no excuse not to be the one that more often than not ends up putting your head on it first.
Yep. Great. Well, listen, thank you so much to Victor Wanyama for joining us. Real pleasure to talk to him. And this has been CF Montreal 3 Questions with Amy Walsh and Ollie Brett. And check out our other MLS-specific podcasts. We have CF Montreal. We have TFC 3 Questions. We have Vancouver Whitecaps 3 Questions and MLS Box to Box coming up later this week. So check all that out and like and subscribe to Footy Prime. Keep supporting independent podcasts. Cheers for listening.
All the best.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG. And visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter. What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime, the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/footyprime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show.